You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. Do you want your question answered on my next podcast? And I don't mean send me your questions and I'll ask it. I mean you ask it. All you have to do is go to shotgunsportsusa.com, look on the right side of the page, and you'll see a button that says Ask Your Question. Click that button, record your question, and send it. That's all you have to do. Nothing special is needed on your end, just your questions. This is just another way that I want to get you involved. Winchester has a distinguished 154-year history of innovation in hunting, recreation, law enforcement, and military ammunition products. In the field, on the range, or in defense of freedom around the globe, Winchester has the right product for any ammunition need. Winchester is the American legend, a brand built on integrity, hard work, and a deep focus on its loyal customers. Learn more about the history of Winchester by visiting Winchester.com. We're here to talk ammunition today, and I have with me the president of Winchester Ammunition, Brett Floyer. And Brett, you all have been building ammunition for decades, and you yourself have been with Winchester for a very long time. So it's great to have you on the show, and I'm sure we're going to cover some topics that a lot of people are talking about.
Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yes, sir. Brett, for the people listening, can you tell them how you got to where you are with Winchester Ammunition?
Sure, Justin. You know, after I graduated college in 1986, I made the decision to accept a job at Winchester, and I was a local person that lived relatively close to where the plant was at, and I got an opportunity to become a salesperson. They asked me to move to Texas to do that, and that's what I did. I jumped in my car, drove to Texas, found an apartment, met the guy that I was replacing as the current sales rep there, and he showed me around the territory, and then about 3 weeks later, I had to go to the National Gun Club and work the World Skeet Shoot for, I think, 13 days I was gone at that World Skeet Shoot. So, you know, I cut my teeth in Texas. I think it was probably one of the better places to cut your teeth in this industry. A lot of great customers down there, a lot of people that hunt, a lot of people that shoot. I got to spend time working the skeet shoot. And this was really before Sporting Clays was even, you know, it was a thought then, but not that big. And then they asked me to come back to the headquarters, and I held a variety of different jobs within sales and marketing and strategic planning, and worked my way up through the company. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they asked me to become president of Winchester. And so I've been around most things that we do in this company, and I think that probably gave me the advantage. So I stayed committed to the to Winchester, and it sort of paid off for me.
Yeah. What is your day like? What's every day like for you? I mean, I would just think it would be very hectic.
It is very hectic. You know, we have three operating plants. We have one right here. We have one in Mississippi and one near Kansas City. And every one of those is an important piece of our total operation. So, you know, we have over 4,000 employees that we have to make sure that that are taken care of from the COVID safety standpoint. And that's been a big change this year. It's been an eye-opening experience to make sure that we put all the protocols in place to do that. But, you know, we work on a lot of things to keep those plants in operation. We work on new products. We work with our customers. But there's, it's the day never is a long day for me. It goes pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm sure. You stay busy, it goes by fast. Brett, there's a lot of talk about ammunition in social media, on the news, around all the gun clubs that we visit. There's just an ammunition shortage. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about Winchester and your longstanding leadership in shooting sports, specifically clay target shooting. And what all have you been up to?
Well, you know, when you have a brand like Winchester and some of the product developments that we put in to the marketplace, we have a longstanding relationship with most, if not all, of the recreational shooting clubs and sports. And I think that from what we know today is that there's the opportunity, and it's, if it's not already going on, there's a big opportunity for a big growth within the recreational shooting sports, and including shotgun sports, as well as some of the center fire, pistol, and rim fire sports as well, because we've seen really an explosion in our sport over the past 12 months. And I think it's been an exciting time for us to engage with those groups to make sure that they're ready and we're ready to have a lot more new shooters enter the market. You know, over the past year, there's probably been over 9 million new first-time gun owners. A lot of those gun owners are looking for a place to shoot and looking for a new sport. So I think that's a big opportunity for the whole shooting sports community right now.
Brett, I agree 100%. And Shotgun Sports is thrilled to be a part of Team Winchester, where there's great people and there's great products. And I know a lot of people in the sport think the same way I do.
Yeah, you know, they do. You know, we are fortunate to sponsor a few great shooters out there, and they give us a lot of feedback all the time on our product. But when you think about Winchester ammunition, the first, especially around clay target shooting and sporting clays specifically, you think about double A's, right?
Yep.
Well, it just so happened, Justin, I was thumbing through some old material of Olin just last week. It's something that we found in a back room somewhere. And it was a document that talked about an event that was held in 1912, and it was a trap shooting event where Winchester brought in, actually it was the old Western Cartridge Company at that time, Western Cartridge, which brought in a lot of trap shooters to do an evaluation on some new products that we had to make sure that it performed the way it should be. So if you look at our history and dating back to some of those products, and then the AA development, and now the diamond grade development, we continue to stretch our limits to make sure that we're giving that clay target shooter the best ammunition that they could use for their sport. So we're pretty excited about our history and some of the current things that we're doing from a new product standpoint to support them as well.
There appears to be a lot of excitement and more participation in shooting sports across the U.S. So how has Winchester remained front and center when it comes to buying ammunition and telling new shooters about your legendary brand?
Well, I mean, the first thing you have to do is really listen to your customer, and we do that. But, you know, we have some great organizations, whether it's the NSCA, the ATA, and many others, the SCTP, which we spend a lot of time and effort with as well, because that's our youth shooters out there, and that's our shooters of the future. So we spend a tremendous amount of effort listening to them as well and supporting them. But, you know, just like a lot of companies, we're involved in making sure that we're trying to help grow the sport, which I think a lot of manufacturers in our space do that. And I think a lot of people, a lot of companies do a great job at that. And individuals within those companies spend a lot of their personal time and resources doing that as well. So that's one effort. But as far as, you know, advertising and promotion, you know, we've had to make sure that we continue to reinvent ourselves with social media to make sure we stay current with all those, and sponsoring shows like yourself too, because it's something that you have a reach that we can't get to as well as you do. And that's why we want to partner with people like you and the great work that you do.
You know, you mentioned SCTP. Winchester's heavily involved with competitive shooting sports and has been for decades, with Team USA, ATA, the NSCA. Talk a little bit about the organizations you support and their value to Winchester and shooting sports. And then how do you keep up with all of this?
Well, you got to have a great team. But one of my pet peeves is really, you know, when we sponsor an organization event or something like that, I'm not a big believer in writing a check and seeing you next year. I think that it requires a commitment on us personally to make sure that we're involved and we're engaged in the sport. And, you know, with the Sporting Clays, we became, I guess this may be our third year. Justin, you may know more than I do about the timing of it. I think it's our third year that we're the sponsor of the championship tour. It's the NSCA championship tour powered by Winchester. And one of the things that when we did that, I really didn't want to just write a check, sponsor it, and then let things happen. So, you know, our folks go to each one of those events. I'm going to try to get to a couple this year. As a matter of fact, I'm going out to the first one in Phoenix in a few weeks. I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. And being involved in it really drives passion through our organization. It makes us better at developing new ideas for the shooting sports, whether that be an idea or a product. And so we encourage our team to be involved. And if you're just writing a check and walking away, you're not going to get value out of it. So that's why I think that we have been successful at supporting these organizations for so long, because we stay involved. And I think the shooters want to see us there too. They want to come up and talk to us, and they want to come up and talk about their ideas or thank us for whatever we've done. And we like to thank them as well. So, yeah. It's a pretty exciting environment to be around. I know you go to a lot of those events as well.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of get off topic maybe here a little bit, but you had the Diamond Grade come out, was it a year and a half ago or so, somewhere around in there? Okay. And you're talking with shooters, getting their ideas. How did that product come about?
Well, I was there when that came about that way, and it was a group of shooters, and I'll name them. Okay. I'm not afraid to name them. It was Zach, mm-hmm. Keenbaum, Desiree, and Anthony. We were all together talking about a new product, mm-hmm. and what can we do differently, and how can we take it up a notch? And it was sitting around generating ideas, and then getting our engineers involved to come up with that product. And that is an example of being engaged with your customer to make sure that you're using their skills, their expertise, because they're the one that's pulling the trigger a lot. So without that opportunity to use those three people that are experts and happen to be great shooters, I think you'd agree with that, we wouldn't have been able to come up with that product. And we're pretty excited about it. Matter of fact, we introduced a trap version of that product this year. So we're taking that to the trap shooters as well. We couldn't copperplate it because of the ATA requirements, but it is that 8% antimony hard shot. So that's something that we're pretty excited for the handicap shooters.
You know, with thousands of kids in the NSCA and the SCTP, I think it's great that they can see a company the size of yours interacting with their shooters and finding out just what it is that they need and what they want.
We're in our third year being the official ammunition of the SCTP. And if you ever wonder why you're involved in something like that, you have to look at almost 900 different teams and 19,000 young athletes that participate in that. And if you've ever been to their annual championship, you'll know how important that particular youth shooter group is. They are the future. I don't see a situation that Winchester would not be involved and engaged with the SCTP to help them even grow that even more. And they've done a good job on their own. It's part of our responsibility to help them as much as we can, and that's what we try to do. That's probably one of the most exciting organizations to be a part of.
Yeah. And you're also involved with ATA, and ATA has been around forever. And from this, the skeet and the trap side of things, you have a unbelievable team for USA, and you've got several, you have some going to the Olympics, right?
We do. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you know Maddie Bruneau. She is a young shooter, probably went up through the SCTP, and we're pretty excited that she's going to the Olympics this summer. Yes. Yep. And we've been involved with Kim Rohde's career. It's 20 to 30 years now. I met Kim Rohde for the first time. She came to our, we used to have a skeet shoot here at our club at our factory near St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And she came when she was about 11 or 13 years old. I met her for the first time there. And then just a few years later, she went to the Olympics, and she's been shooting Winchester for all that time. And she's a good friend of ours. She's done a lot to promote ladies in the shooting sports, and as long as she's shooting, I think that we'll have a strong relationship with her, even maybe when she decides to retire. But she didn't make the Olympics this year, but for the first time in her career, but if I know Kim, she'll be back at it, working hard to get back at the next Olympics.
Brett, how do you find some of the best shooters that there are, and how do you make them part of Team Winchester? What is that process like?
You know, a lot of people think that we look through the list of the scores and pick the best shooters and do that. We really don't do it that way. When it comes to people like Zach and Desi and Anthony, I sort of got involved in because of my personal interest in sporting clay shooting. I spent my whole career doing a lot of bad things like playing golf, and I decided, my kids are grown, I'm going to try something new. So I started doing that a little bit more, and I started following the sport. I got pretty interested in it. I think sporting clays is a little bit different. It draws a little bit more of an excitement to it. And I started looking at who are the ones that are representing the sport the best? Who are the ones that are trying to help grow it? So when you look at, Kemble DuPont and Rollins Brown and those, maybe not everybody has to be the best shooter, but we look for people that are influencers that are trying to drive the sport. And that's how those names came up. And I think you would agree with me. All those names I just mentioned do all that.
Yes.
Probably a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yep. I agree with you 100%.
And for every discipline, we do the same thing, really.
So who are some of your trap shooters that are part of Team Winchester?
Well, I think some of the most famous ones are Matt Foster, Barfalo, Harlan Campbell, who's a new for this year. And those are two that we feel like are three, because there's three of them. We feel like they're pretty strong. And then Dagan Voigtman, I don't know if you know Dagan, but he was the first one to shoot a 400 by 400 perfect score in trap in 2020 at the age of 19. He's a shooter for us. So we have a lot of great people do a lot of things for the sport, and that's what we primarily look for.
Yeah. Yep.
It does help to be a good shooter, but it's more than just that. I don't know that I mentioned this already, and I may have already, but we'll be making a big announcement probably about the time that this podcast goes on, when you release it. Mm-hmm. That next week will become the official ammunition of the ATA, which is brand new for 2021. And that was a different one. Usually, our marketing group goes out and searches for opportunities like that. But the ATA actually came to us because of our long-term relationship with them that dates back well over 100 years, and our consistency and being there for the ATA, that they asked if we would be interested in that. And I thought, you only have to ask me once for that, because they've never done anything like that. And I thought it was pretty unique that they came to us and offered us that opportunity. And we're pretty excited about being the official ammunition of the ATA going forward.
Give me some details about that, Brett. What does that entail for Winchester?
Well, it's a sponsorship opportunity, much like what we do for the NSCA. It does give us the recognition of our support. There'll be some other things that we try to do as far as the big events like the Grand American. But at the end of the day, it's just the recognition of our continued support and commitment to the ATA.
Well, Brett, I know there's a big announcement for the NSCA as well. Do you want to go ahead and let the listeners know what that is?
And I'm pretty excited about this one as well. And I was a little involved in making it happen because, you know, as I mentioned, I'm a little bit of a sports guy. I like following sports. I like looking at scores. You know, I have ESPN that all my favorite sports teams' scores pop up. And I got to know some of our NSCA shooters like Zach and Desi and Anthony. And so I found myself on a Sunday evening looking online on WinScore or whatever to track how those guys are doing, because I feel like I'm connected and I want to see how they're doing. I want to be able to congratulate them when they do well. I want to be able to hide maybe when they don't do well. But I started following this and I started looking at some of the earnings that some of these professional shooters earn when they win. And by no means do I think that anybody is making a lot of money in the shooting sports. I wish they were, but you know the economics don't work that way. So I started looking at some of the ladies. I started following some of the ladies' scores and watching these ladies really do well in the NSCA events. And some of them reaching almost to the top, winning the high overall and beating a lot of men. And I started looking at some of the payout structures that existed in the NSCA. And I always found that when one of the ladies wins their concurrent event, you know, they win a few $100 or something like that. Or if it's at the Nationals, maybe a little bit more, a bigger event, a little bit more. But when you compare that to some of the men, it was quite a bit lower than some of the men who are winning the high overall events. And I get the economics with it, and it's nobody's fault that it works out that way.
Right.
But I thought, you know what? I wonder if Winchester could do something a little bit different here and create some equity for those lady shooters that I personally believe that will find their way to the top of the podium and beat some of the men in some of these bigger events soon. I wonder if there's something that we can do to help promote them, because at the end of the day, shooting's expensive. You know that as much as anybody, and
right.
And you want something for everybody to shoot for. So what we did is created something called the Ladies' Cup, the Winchester's Ladies' Cup, which will be a part of the championship tour that we sponsor. That's powered by Winchester. And what we are doing is creating 7 different events. At the 7 different the tour events, and we're going to put $5,000 extra prize money or payout money into each one of those that's just for the ladies. So I think it's like $2,500 will go to the winner of the Western Regional Lady, $1,500 for runner-up, and $1,000 for the all-around third place. So we're putting $5,000. That gets them pretty close to earning as much as the men. And then we'll do that same thing for each one of the 7. And then really the Ladies' Cup is the winner for the season-long race, you may want to say. And then we're going to add another $10,000 for the lady that wins the most during that 7 events. And $5,000 will go to that winner, $3,000 for the runner-up and $2,000 for the third place. So, you know, it's just trying to do our part to recognize that I believe that women can grow in this sport. Women are getting a lot better in this sport. And I think that I want to try to do something on behalf of Winchester to encourage more participation and more events for these ladies that are just, I mean, they're knocking it out of the park on some of these scores that I'm seeing. And Justin, I know you probably follow them like I do, but I'm excited for the opportunity to do it. And I think next week when we announce that, I hope that that all the ladies appreciate the opportunity to make a little bit more money to cover a little bit more of the cost. That's what it's intended to do.
Well, I'm sure they will, and that's great that you're doing that. You're correct. When you go look at the winnings for the ladies, it's just it's not there. You know, and this is a huge help. They spend, and the thing about it is they spend just as much money as everybody to go to these shoots. And then when they get there, they win nearly nothing. So the fact that you're doing that is unbelievable. $5,000 for every regional, basically, the U.S. Open and Nationals.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then you're at the end of that, whoever's the top shot, so to speak, whoever's got the most wins or however you want, however you're scoring that, mm-hmm. will be part of another $10,000.
Correct.
That's
correct. And a nice trophy.
Yeah. It'll be called the,
you know,
I bet you it'll be a cup.
I think it will be. Called the Ladies' Cup. So I'm assuming come up with a nice cup. But, you know, it also creates intensity, which I'm a big supporter of intensity and competition at each one of those seven events, because, you know, it will cover, you know, a five stand, the fee task and the main event, and it's total targets broken. So after day one, after you shoot the fee task, after day one of the main and the five stand, you know, it's going to take somebody shooting three events really good. And I think it promotes the intensity of competition because they know there's something pretty substantial at stake for doing it. And I think the other benefit is I think some parents are going to be very happy with us because I'm looking at some of these ladies, they're pretty young these days that are going to these shoots winning. And I'm sure the parents are paying for a lot of the coaching and the shells and everything else. So we're excited about it.
Yep. Well, it's great you guys are doing that. I know that there'll be a lot of excited people out there ready to go to one of these places to shoot. But let's change gears for a minute and talk about the ammunition. I want to get into that topic. And I want to find out what's driving this incredible demand for ammunition.
You know, there's three things that I like talking about that are driving the demand for the ammo. All right. And every one of them is important. The first reason that I think that the demand is high has to do with the increased level of concern that people have for their personal security. Mm-hmm. And there's two reasons for that, that's increased quite a bit over the past year. And the first is, you know, something that, you know, most of us have never experienced before, or not, if not all of us, is a pandemic. You know, if you think about a year ago and the first time you started hearing about pandemics, you didn't know what to expect. You didn't know how that was going to look. You know, it probably turned out a lot different than your initial impressions. Well, when that happened, people started, you know, worrying about their personal security. And when that happens, people buy firearms and people buy ammunition to do that. And the second thing that drove a more concern over people's personal security is, you know, some of the civil unrest that we saw last summer that none of us like to see and wish it would have never happened. But that sort of, you know, made that even go that much further with people worried about their personal security.
Yeah.
So the second thing that I think that drove that is really the pandemic itself and the requirements around the pandemic. You know, we all learned that we stay at home, we don't go on vacations, we didn't go out to dinner, we didn't go bowling, we didn't go to movies. What did we do? Well, fortunately for our industry, you know, a lot of people decided, I want to get outdoors. I want to go do things that I can do in this pandemic. And people went out and went to clay target ranges, went to pistol ranges, rifle ranges. They started participating at a higher rate. The lapsed recreational shooter went back to the clay target range, maybe haven't been back in 5 years. So we saw a tremendous amount of people participating in the recreational shooting sports as well as hunting. We saw hunting grow as well, which drives that ammunition demand. So the third thing is, you know, there's a lot of people that are concerned on whether or not that they're a legislative or some political action could take place that would limit their ability to buy ammunition or a firearm in the future. And that's driven a higher level of demand. So those are the three things. You know, the result of those three things is that there was almost 21 million firearms sold last year, which if you use the NICS background check as a proxy, which I think is pretty accurate, is an unbelievable number compared to the year before. It was up about 60%. About 9 million of those were to first-time gun buyers. People have never owned a firearm. 9 million of them bought their first firearm. Yeah. We saw female firearm and participation grow substantially. So when you add up all that together, we now have over 52 million people that participate in shooting sports. If you put that in perspective, that's about 2.5 times the amount of adult people that golf. So I'm sure golf maybe had some growth last year as well for the same reasons, but those are big numbers, and that's probably what's driving the shortages. It's just the pure usage of ammunition from a recreational standpoint and all those other things that I mentioned as well.
Yeah. So are you?
I hope that answers your question, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you making more ammo for target shooters and hunters? And I mean, what's going to be your mix there?
Well, our mix is going to be relative. We're the same, you know, we're making more ammunition overall. You know, when you look at the number of target shooters versus the number of hunters, there's 52 million people or more that target shoot. There's 13 or so million people that hunt. Well, obviously, you know, target shooters use a lot more ammo than hunters, and there's a lot more of them. So we make a lot of ammunition for the target shooters, but not at the expense of the hunter. So we try to do both. To the levels that we think that we need to support it. Unfortunately, I do understand that a lot of these people are frustrated. They just can't find ammo, and we're trying to do our best to get as much to them. It's just the growth curve doesn't give us the ability to get it done that fast, but we're working on it.
Yeah. What type of ammo right now is more in demand than others at this point?
Well, you know, all ammo is in high demand right now. It doesn't matter what caliber or what gauge, it's in high demand. But things that are used at the range a lot are in the most demand. 9mm pistol is used at the range a lot. Mm-hmm. 223 and 5.56 is used at the range a lot. And 12-gauge ammunition is used at the range a lot. So anything that is part of that, going to the range, going to the gun club, recreational shooting is just off the charts right now from a demand standpoint.
Yeah. What about primers? I hear those are extremely hard to find.
They are hard to find. A lot of the same reasons that ammunition is hard to find, because there's more people that are reloading because there's more participation. But it has a little bit of added layer of complexity to it. You know, we're making more ammunition. So to make more ammunition, you have to use more of your primers to do that. So that may give it less that can go to a person that reloads themselves at home. The other thing is we do manufacture primers for other ammunition manufacturers, and they're trying to make more ammunition. So the pressure's been on the primers, and that's one category that's been pretty tough to keep anywhere close to the level of demand and to keep our customers happy. And we have increased our output quite a bit, and we'll continue to try to find ways to do that to supply more as well.
So if primers were plentiful, would the rest of the ammunition be able to be made fairly quickly?
No.
Okay.
No, it would not. I mean, we would still have the problem. I mean, it's the demand is that high that we would still have issues from that standpoint.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people just say, you've heard this, I'm sure, why don't you just go build another place and start making more ammo?
Yeah, that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is a solution. It's probably not a practical solution, especially right now, when you don't know the long-term outcome of what demand's going to be. But that doesn't mean that we're not trying to do things to increase our output, and we are. There's things with in your own factories, your own equipment. You can add equipment. You can add things that may need equipment that needs to be added to make more of a component that can give you more output. And we also have hired, you know, hundreds of more people. And that's been sort of how we've helped do that too. So we've hired a lot of people. It takes a long time to get somebody trained to do that. But there's a lot of activity in our operations to increase our output. And we have increased our output quite a bit.
What about your ammunition for the military? I know that's a huge part of your business. Kind of tell me about that.
So, you know, Winchester has a long history of making ammunition for the U.S. warfighter. It dates back, you know, to World War I when we first got some contracts to make small caliber ammunition for the U.S. military. You know, I think in World War II, I believe we produced about 15 billion rounds for the war efforts during World War II. In every major conflict, we've been a part of making ammunition for the U.S. military and some foreign militaries as well. You know, that's been a part of our DNA. It makes us a better company, a better manufacturer, and we're pretty excited about the heritage of that and the importance of it. Well, something else has changed recently in our portfolio as well. We won a contract to run, it's called a GOCO, which is a government-owned, company-operated manufacturing facility in Independence, Missouri, which is right outside of Kansas City, which is the military's primary manufacturing location for small-caliber ammunition. So we took full operational control of and started that contract on October 1 of last year. So in reality, now Winchester probably is responsible for as close to 100% of small caliber ammunition requirements for the U.S. military that you can get. That's a pretty proud moment for our almost, you know, over 4,000 employees that we have that to say that they have that capability. And like I said, it makes us a better manufacturer. We learn a lot in the disciplines to meet that military specification. And Justin, it does carry over to your capabilities when it comes from manufacturing ammunition for every other customer, whether it's a trap shooter or sporting clay shooter or a hunter. I mean, that quality discipline that you put into your process is really meaningful. We're pretty excited about that.
Is the ammunition for the military made in a separate part of the building than the ammunition that's made for consumers?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, there are some types of military ammunition that will run on occasion on some of it. But, you know, I get asked this question. I think the question at heart here is the U.S. military taking away or responsible for shortage of ammunition? And the answer to that is no. You know, we produce a lot of ammunition for the U.S. military. It's been very consistent for a long time. So it's not something that we've seen a big surge in demand from the U.S. military. It's in a small bandwidth that our orders and our contracts allow us to make that ammunition farm. So no, most of it, there's really no direct competition for time and space in there. And especially when you look at how consistent it's been over the years, it does not get in the way for us to deliver to our commercial customers.
Well, I see the prices of ammunition. It just seems like they're higher than normal. What's driving higher prices?
Yeah, I mean, those prices, you know, when you look at the cost to manufacture ammunition, there's a lot of things that are variable in those costs. Most of it's your material input cost. And if you follow some of the materials that go into making ammunition, like copper and zinc and lead, steel, plastics, all of those costs are up tremendously from where we were a year ago. You know, nobody really knows why those costs go up. Most of them are on commodity type markets, but we have seen a big increase in all those costs that we have to pass along. The other thing is your labor cost. As I mentioned, we've hired hundreds of new employees this year. You have to train all those employees. You have to help make sure that in today's environment that they're kept safe and we have all the processes and procedures in place to keep our employees safe from this pandemic that's out there, from the COVID pandemic. So there's a lot of input costs that have changed over a short period of time, and that's probably what you're seeing.
Is it true that only the bigger stores get the bulk of the ammo to sell, or are you spreading it out so that local dealers get some shipments as well?
You know, we've been through periods of time in the past where there's been a high supply of ammunition. The one thing that we won't do is try to funnel it all to one customer or all to one customer group. You know, we've had a lot of loyal customers. Some of those are big customers, some of those are medium customers, and some are small. You know, we try to make sure that we are taking care of each one of those customers, no matter their size. And that's something that's very important. And our sales group spends a lot of time making sure that happens as well.
Yeah.
So no, we don't put it all in one place. We make sure everybody's taken care of.
You introduced some incredible new products again this year, but why did you introduce new products in this type of climate?
It would be really easy for us to focus just on executing on what we have in front of us from a demand standpoint. But, you know, one of the things that's made Winchester a little bit different for many, many years is to drive new technology, solutions that are better into the marketplace. And that's sort of something that we feel like we can't back off of, that whether we're in really good times or really bad times, we need to focus on making sure that we're putting better products, better solutions into the hands of, whether you're a hunter, a clay target shooter, a pistol shooter, rimfire shooter, whether you're a first responder in law enforcement or military. So we think that's our responsibility to make sure that we continue to do that. Now, what's important to note is it really doesn't get in the way of us supplying more of the regular ammunition or something that's not new to our customers. So, you know, I think that question probably comes, well, that's taking away from something that I'm used to buying. In reality, you know, it probably doesn't that much. It's probably not a meaningful number that does that. So I want to assure everybody that our new products don't necessarily do that.
What type of customer or consumer are you focused on as you move forward?
You know, I hate to pick one customer on that, but here's what I can tell you that I think is probably the most important thing that we as an industry can focus on. I mentioned to you there was 9 million people that bought their first firearm.
Right.
I think that's important. I also think that we've seen a tremendous growth in women that have joined the shooting sport. We have to focus on that. And as I mentioned, probably the most important we have to focus on is bringing the next generation through and promoting that youth shooting, youth hunting, youth recreational shooting as a good, wholesome sport. And if I had to put it and frame it like that, that's probably what you'll see us focus our attention on.
I wonder how many times you've been asked this question. Do you have any idea on when this shortage will end?
You know, Justin, I get asked that question probably on a daily basis. And, you know, my crystal ball sometimes is not as good as somebody else's crystal ball. It may be a little bit better than some just because of what I do.
Right.
But I can tell you with the numbers I quoted, with all the increases, everything that we've quoted, I really don't imagine it to be anytime soon. I think the pure numbers are driving a lot of demand and a lot of purchasing and a lot of consumption of ammunition. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. It may be on some products, but I think from some of those high volume recreational shooter type products that people use a lot, I think it's going to be sometime.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are ready for this to be over and for the ammo situation to be like it used to be. But I appreciate you coming on today, Brett. I appreciate you being a part of Shotgun Sports. It means a lot to me, and I also appreciate what you and Winchester do for the sport, as it means a lot to a lot of people.
Hey, Justin, no problem, and I appreciate you thinking about Winchester and allowing me to spend some time with you, because I think you covered, asked me some really good questions that hopefully your listeners will be interested in.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can get back together soon. And when all this stuff's over with, and we can talk about how good everything is now.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Brett.